Praise the Lord. It's good to see each of you. Appreciate you being here. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Father, thank you for your word, for the light to our path and the lamp to our feet. Thank you for enabling us to see and to hear. And I thank you, and I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud." He said, "our fathers." You say, "Well, that was Paul. He was a Hebrew." How many of you know Paul wasn't a Jew? He was a Benjamite. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. He wasn't of the tribe of Judah. So he says, "I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers," if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed, so that makes them your fathers too. "All our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses." You were baptized into Christ, but he says they were baptized into Moses. "In the cloud and in the sea, in the water and in spirit. They all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them," that is, the rock was Christ. "And with most of them," you might circle that word, "most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Bob Mumford said their bones were bleached in the wilderness. They died, didn't enter into the kingdom. "Now these things became our examples." Our, circle the word our. They became our examples. Price, quit flirting with that baby. Hallelujah. "These things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents." Verse 10. "Nor murmur as some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer." Now all these things, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the ages has come. That's you. The end of the ages have come on us. And there are examples written down in the Scripture of some things. Think with me now, of some things that they did do and that was right, and some things that they didn't do. There's some things that God has given us to do that we've done, and there's some things that He's given us to do that we didn't do. And so there's examples written down. And I want to just give you just a little precursor here. The thing they didn't do was hear what God had said from Abraham to them, that He gave them the land. They really didn't hear that. And I'll show it to you in a minute. Why and how. Now go to Matthew 24. Thank you, Father. Matthew 24. How many of you know God can speak to us through various and sundry different voices? I said, how many of us know that God can speak to us through various and sundry different voices? This message that I'm bringing to you, one of my sons gave it to me. God spoke to me through one of my spiritual sons. And I'm thankful for him. And I'm thankful for the word that he spoke to me. He just asked me a question and showed me the answer. And I'm bringing it to you because I heard. Matthew 24, 6. Matthew 24, 6. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Anybody got that here that know about that? That's going on right now. Wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. Did you hear what he said? See, there's wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. It's still not yet. Makes me think about a guy. How many of y'all saw the Gladiator, the movie Gladiator? There's a black guy in there. Half a dozen different times he says, not yet. Not yet. Well, it's still not yet. We see in all these things, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation. You see in that? Kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. The old King James says divers. Somebody said, what is divers? The Bible, the old King James uses the word divers diseases, divers places, divers tongues. Yes, diverse. But old King James says divers. When I told him the guy the answer, he said, I didn't understand. I didn't know what divers tongues was. He said, I thought it was a special kind of tongue. It just means different kinds. So there's going to be all these things in various or different kinds of places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, it hadn't happened yet. That hadn't yet. Any of y'all been hated because of Jesus yet? Not really. You say, well, I had a little persecution. Yeah, but you ain't shed blood yet. Not yet. And many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. Lawlessness is abounding and will abound. And the reason the love of many will grow cold, some of the church, their love is growing cold because it isn't turning out like they thought it would. It isn't how you say it's going to turn out or how you think it's going to turn out. It's how God says it's going to turn out. Don't be surprised when lawlessness abounds, but don't let your love grow cold. And the way to keep your love fervent, hot, or as one man said, be a hunk of burning love. Burning agape. That's what you're supposed to be. Burning with agape. The way to keep that burning is to keep the right fuel. The Word as God's shown us, not as somebody told you or they told you how it was going to be, but what He said. Many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. When the gospel of the kingdom... Brothers and sisters, I've said this to you before, but I'm going to say it again, and you need to hear it. The church has preached a gospel. The church has preached a gospel of heaven and hell. That is not the gospel. Heaven and hell is part of the gospel, but it is not the gospel. The gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. The good news is the gospel of the kingdom. That's why I put that on the back of that sign out there, so once in a while you might look at the back of that sign out there and see, he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. That's your mission. It's good news. It's the gospel of the kingdom. heaven and hell is only part of the gospel. Hell is not good news. That's not good news. All right, now, the title of this message is Possessing Your Wilderness. I might ask you, how many of you believe God means what He says? Anybody here? Amen. You really believe God means what He says? All right, well, let's go look at it. I'm going to start with Genesis 15. Genesis 15, verse 18. We spent several weeks on this earlier this year. 15:18. On the same day, the Lord made covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates." And then he lists 10 nations of people. I won't read that, but he said, I just want you to see, he said, "I've given this land." Now go to Deuteronomy 11. Oh, but wait a minute. I want to read you something else. Just hang loose just a second. Go back to Deuteronomy 13. 13:14. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him, "Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered." Listen to what he says, 17. "Arise and walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Walk on it." Now, Deuteronomy 11. We shared some things with you about from this chapter in the last month or so. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 24. He says, "Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the western sea shall be your territory." Does it say wherever he put his foot? Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. Circle the word wilderness. All right. Now this word wilderness is a word that can mean a pasture or an open field. Also a desert. It also means in the south. Man. Well, yes it is. Because he gave it to us. He gave it to us. And then now Joshua chapter 1. Verse 3. Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's just go to 1. Let's read 2, verse 2. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I'm giving to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as..." You see, he's repeating the same thing. God repeats himself, but we don't hear it. "From the wilderness, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." He didn't say nobody would ever stand against you. He just said they won't be able to continue to stand against you. Or they cannot defeat you. What happens is we quit. Because it gets hard. It doesn't feel good. It hurts. My brother Robert said something a while ago about the dog that was sitting on the front porch whining and howling because he was sitting on a nail. But he didn't hurt enough to get up and move. He just sat there and howled. Now that's bad. That's what a lot of Christians do. They just sit there and howl. They don't get up and move. And go do what God said do. Get used to hearing the howl. All right. So, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given you. The question my son asked me, he says, did you know God gave you the wilderness too? He gave you the wilderness. Now, Israel, listen to me. Even in the mess that Israel made in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, that's where they, you know, God told them to send the spies into the promised land. You remember? You remember the story? They went over there, 12 of them, 10 of them come back and said, well, it's a good land. It's got all kinds of good fruit. But there's giants in the land. Walled cities, and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And two of them come back, Caleb and Joshua, said, yeah, it's a good land, all this, and there are giants there, but we can do it. God's with us, and we can possess the land. And the people believed the negative report, and so God sent them into the wilderness. Now, do you know even in the midst of the mess, God was working? Because when He sent them in the wilderness, if they would have believed what He said... See, they didn't believe what He said when they went in. I'm giving you the land. So they had trouble believing that He was even giving them the wilderness. But you remember what I read to you, the first thing, that these things are examples to us so that we can learn? I know some of you are in a wilderness right now, but it's yours. It's your land. And you can possess it. You can be an overcomer in your wilderness. You can occupy and possess that land, but you have to have that mindset that it does not make any difference what is going on in your life at this moment. God does not lie. He said, I give you the land. Every place where you're walking, it's yours. But you have to believe that. You have to believe that. And you can, because God gave you His faith. How many of you know, how many of you used your faith when you received Jesus as Lord? Anybody? You used your faith. Well, you can use that same faith to do this stuff. It is no different. It does not take any more faith to believe that God gave you the wilderness that you're in than it takes to believe that Jesus is Lord. The same faith. It's not a different faith. It's the same faith. And you, how did you receive Jesus as Lord? You believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth. So when you begin to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that this wilderness that you're walking in is your land, and it doesn't belong to anybody else, it belongs to you, and you're going to possess it, you're going to occupy it, you're going to do what the Scripture says. That word occupy the land means to possess the land by driving out the former inhabitants. Drive out the fear and the doubt and the unbelief. Drive out the thing that says, no, you can't have it. Drive out the thing that says, no, you won't accomplish it.
Hallelujah.
Tell it to shut up.
Amen.
But you can possess your wilderness. God has riches in the earth anywhere He puts a man. When I was 11 or 12 years old, my daddy told me, I don't even know what we were talking about, but I remember him saying to me, he said, wherever God puts a man, there is the wherewithal for a man to survive in that place. God put it there. You see, it looks like a desert. There's nothing there. There's not even any water. There is everything that a man needs to survive wherever God puts him, because God does not lie. I have given you the land, He said. It's your territory. It has my treasure in it. But you have to look for it. You have to be willing to take the time and the effort and endure the pain. Get off the nail and quit howling. If you're going to make noise about what God said. It's no harder to howl than it is to say what God says. Most Christians just sit on the nail and howl. Thank you for giving me that a while ago. See, I heard the voice of God in that. So the Lord really did mean every place. The wilderness is your possession. Exodus 13. Exodus 13:17. This is some more of what my son gave me. He said, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and return to Egypt. Now here's the deal. God's bringing Israel out of Egypt. They've already, here in chapter 13, they've crossed the Red Sea. I think that's where they have. Anyway, he said he didn't bring them through the land of the Philistines. If they'd have gone through the land of the Philistines, it was closer to get where they were going. But he brought them another way because he said, if they go to the land of the Philistines, they'd have to fight. And these people had been slaves for 400 years, and they had a slave mentality. They had to be told where to go, when to go, how to go, and if they could go. If they could, whatever, they were told, they didn't have any initiative. They didn't have any ability to step out on their own. They'd been controlled all their lives. They were slaves. So God said, I'm going to bring them another way. Now, let's read the rest of it. He said, God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. He didn't bring them the close way. He brought them the longer way so they could walk on more wilderness.
Amen.
He gave them more places to walk because he said, every place you walk, I've given to you. You say, well, it's taken so long to help to get to where God wants me to be. Well, God's given you more land to walk on. You say, well, that's crazy. No, it's God. He don't do things the way you think. He'll bring you the longer way. You're not, listen to me. I heard a man I have a great deal of respect for say this 10 or 15 years ago, back in the 90s. He said, the whole church is singing warfare songs. And he said, I was thinking about that one day, and he said, we don't need to be singing warfare songs. We ain't even been to boot camp yet. We haven't even been to boot camp yet. Don't be singing no war songs if you haven't been to boot camp. You don't know what you're getting into. So, God didn't bring Israel where they'd have to go to war. He brought them another, God's bringing you another way. So you can learn. In the wilderness, which is your possession when you walk on it, if you have that mindset, in the wilderness is where you learn, and God lets you learn the warfare a little at a time. He won't send you into the battle where everybody gets knocked off. Are you hearing me? Don't nobody get killed in combat training. Mostly. You know, it's usually. You've been to combat training, didn't you? Was anybody in your outfit just killed because there was enemies there, or maybe somebody got killed because they was goofing around, wasn't paying attention?
No, you got your pride hurt quite a bit.
Yeah, I got your pride hurt. Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah, something else died. So, God teaches you to do warfare in the wilderness. And so when you understand that not only is He teaching you something, but He's giving you the land. When Sister Chloe and I first came here 36 years ago, man, I thought we had it fixed. We already knew everything. We'd been watching. I've been saved since I was 11-year-old boy. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost when I was 28. And here I am 36 years old. Man, I had all the answers. Today, sometimes I wonder what the questions are. I'm like Brett. You heard what he said this morning. He's asking God for questions. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. What's the question, God? Instead of telling God the answers. If He asks you, if He gives you a question, ask the question, then He gives you an answer. Tell Him what that answer is, not what you might figure out. But right now, for us, what He's saying is, He's given us the wilderness. And whatever your wilderness is, whatever the circumstance, you're supposed to occupy that land because you're walking on it. And it's yours. That's a blessing of God. But you have to know that. When we first came here, I thought everything was cool. We were going to 2 years we were here, and I figured surely we'd have had, like Brother Willis did down there in Lafayette, 200 or 300 people, just, and we struggled to see 50 or 60 on a regular basis. Now those monthly meetings that we had, and had outside speakers come in, while we'd get 100, 125, or 130 people show up, but regular weeks and services, everybody went away. I couldn't understand. But you know what I know? God was teaching us and training us. Teaching us to endure. Teaching us to walk on the land. Regardless of what it looked like. Regardless of how it felt. You say, well, you still got just a few people. That's okay. We've touched lots of people's lives. Touch lots of people's lives. Every week we touch lots of people's lives in the prisons that God has given us the grace to go into and the access to. The radio station. The sons that God has given me to work with. We touch hundreds of people through them. So God has given us the wilderness. And so he wants us to walk on it. Possess it. Now, he brought them the long way so he'd give them more land to walk on. But listen what they said. Chapter 14, verse 10. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted their eyes. Exodus 14, 10. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted their eyes and behold the Egyptians. Don't be looking at the Egyptians. Don't be looking at the Egyptians. Be looking at God. Behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. They were so afraid, they were sore. They were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Now listen to that. They lied. There was graves in Egypt. They lied. Some of them did die there in Egypt. Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? No, God didn't bring them into the wilderness to die. He brought them in the wilderness to give it to them. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? They were the ones that were bellyaching and crying out to God. But God said to Moses, I've heard the cry of my people and I've sent you down there to deliver them. They were the ones that was crying out for help, and then when he gets them out, they don't like it. It sounds like the church to me. That's what we do. We get out of the mess of sin and darkness, and God brings us on the way to the land, and on the way to the land, he's giving us the wilderness as well. But we didn't hear what he said. You have to hear what God says. Is this, verse 12, is this not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? They was the ones crying out to God to deliver them. It had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. They were negative all the way through. God said, I've given you the land, I've given you the wilderness, and all they could see was the Egyptians, because that's what they were looking at. The question is, who, what are you looking at? Who or what are you listening to? If I'm listening to God, I'm going to hear that he said, I give you the wilderness. And I'm going to hear that the Egyptians no longer have authority over me, because that's what he said. So Israel only saw the negative because it was difficult and not an easy way. Brothers and sisters, I know this. I know that it's easier for us to see the negative than it is to see the positive. We're practiced at looking at the negative and speaking the negative. We all are. We have to renew our minds. Don't tell me. I know. I catch myself. My wife catches me sometimes. Well, what are you talking that way for? Sometimes I catch her. be listening. Is what you're believing and saying in line with God's word, or are you looking at the Egyptians? Are you looking at the warfare? Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. Verse 1. Says, and they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from Egypt, the land of Egypt. They're already, they've been gone for 2 months. Just barely out of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children, you know, we get so impatient. Don't give God any time at all. Go to a doctor and he gives you a shot or a pill and says, just keep doing this for 3 days and you'll be all right. We pray and talk to God about something and we want him to do it right now. We won't even give God as much time as we give a doctor. Yeah. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. They murmured in the wilderness. Check yourself. Are you murmuring in your wilderness? Sometimes we do. The children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord. Wish God had killed us." Do you ever say, "God, I just wish you'd kill me"? That's what Elijah did. "God, you just well kill me," said, I'm the only one. "Oh, that we had died in the land of by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. For when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." God didn't bring you out to kill you. He brought you out to bring you in. But you have to be patient. You have to let God bring you the way He brings you. And you can learn what He wants you to learn and do what He wants you to do by sticking with Him. Not be looking at the Egyptians, not be listening to the Egyptians. And let me tell you, when they came out of Egypt, there was a mixed multitude that came out with them. There was some Egyptians in the camp. Don't be listening to Egyptians in the camp either. Because there could be some. Go read the book. It says there was a mixed multitude that came out with them. They wasn't all Abraham's seed. What happened was, some of those Egyptians got smart and they said, "Well, there's something good going on here. We want to participate in that." But they didn't want to be circumcised. They just wanted to go along and get what... There's some cutting away that God has to do if you're going to get in on what God's doing. All right. Then verse 4 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not." God told him, "The wilderness is yours," and they didn't pay no attention. He said, "I'm going to see if they'll pay attention to this." He told them, he said, "I'm going to send the manna," but he said, "Don't gather more than you need." Told them a certain amount to gather for every man every day. Well, some of them thought they'd be smarter than God, so they went out and gathered enough for the whole week and ate what they needed that day, got up the next morning, and the Bible says it was full of worms. Because they were supposed to gather it every day. They still didn't listen to what God said. Now, the only thing, on the Friday, the day before the Sabbath, they were supposed to gather twice as much, so they wouldn't gather any on the Sabbath. Only one day did He tell them to gather twice what they needed. It's right there in the book. All you got to do is read it. The issue is paying attention to what God says. Believing what He says. All through, if you just read the book, Israel benefited from God's blessings, but most of the time they didn't pay any attention to it. That's why I say, in most cases, the church would make good Israelites. Because we want the blessings of God, but we don't pay a whole lot of attention to what He says. unless it fits what we want. When it really fits what we want, then we pay a lot of attention to that. Sometimes he says stuff you don't like. You ever hear God say something you didn't like? Mm-hmm. All the time he does. Go around and pray for that guy that despitefully used you. Give something to that one that stole from you. Forgive that one. Do this. Do that. Let the grace and peace and the love of God flow out of you towards that one that's been unkind to you. Hallelujah. Numbers chapter 9, verse 1. Numbers chapter 9, verse 1. I'm just giving you verses where the word wilderness is. Just a few. Numbers 9, 1. The Lord spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year. Now they're in the second year. They're still in the wilderness. In the first month of the second year after they came out of the land of Egypt, saying, let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed seasons. In the first year, he gave them the... Before they came out of Egypt, he gave them the rules and the law concerning the Passover. This is they're in the second year, and they come up on the time for the Passover. He said, do it. The Passover was, the Bible says, an everlasting covenant. He said, do it. Obey. So here's the issue, brothers and sisters. In the wilderness, obey God. When you're in the wilderness and it hurts and it's not comfortable and it's not convenient, obey God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
In the wilderness, obey God. Don't forget what he said. Remember Brett saying, push. Pray until something happens. And when something happens, repeat. Obey God. So obedience is necessary in the wilderness. Deuteronomy 2. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Don't be pinching that baby. She's all right. I'm playing with you. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness. Listen, brothers and sisters, even in the wilderness, God's blessings are there for you. Are you hearing me? In the wilderness, God's blessings are there. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness. God knows what you're going through. He's not unmindful of your labors of love, the Scripture says. He does not forget that he's brought, how he's brought you, but he did not forget the reason why. Part of the reason is so that you wouldn't turn around and turn tail if he brought you immediately into warfare, but also the other reason is he brought you the long way so he gave you more land to walk on, a greater possession. Now, it says, let me finish reading that. The Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Listen, is there any of y'all that have just absolutely gone totally without, didn't have food and clothing? You're blessed above all people. Paul says one place, I believe one of the Corinthian letters, one of his epistles, he said, having food and clothing, be content. He didn't even say a roof over your head. He just said food and clothing. You say, my God. If you have rice and beans, you're doing good. Psalm 78. We have a whole lot more. Psalm 78.
Crawfish.
Yeah, we got crawfish. Hallelujah. I bet Sister Joanne could learn how. Send me back to Egypt. Don't make me eat crawfish, she said. Psalm 78, verse 14. Well, let's start at verse 12. Marvelous things he did in the sight of your fathers. In the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan, he divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the water stand up like a heap. In the daytime, he also led them with the cloud, and all night with the light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness. God will split your hard places. The hard places he will split for you. He split the rocks in the wilderness. He gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also made brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Your hard places will provide water for you. Your hard places will provide water for you, brothers and sisters. He gave you the wilderness. Verse 17, it's talking about Israel. But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. They did not listen, did not believe, did not do. We don't have to be like that. We can be admonished. It can be an example. I read to you there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 11. Go back and read it again. These things were written for our admonition, so that we can learn. They sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God in their heart by asking for the food of their fancy. They didn't like the manna. We want some meat. So he sent them quails. And they had so much quail, it says it run out their nose. That's what it says. They tested God in their heart by asking for the food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? You might ought to circle that. Be sure you remember that God can prepare a table in the wilderness. Amen. He gave you the wilderness. I don't care what your wilderness is. You may have gone there because of your disobedience, but God will provide for you there if you will turn to Him in your wilderness. Verse 20 says, behold, He struck the rock so that the waters gushed out. The streams overflowed. Can He give bread also? Can He provide meat for His people? They ask all those questions. The answer is yes. In your wilderness, He can provide. In your wilderness, He will provide. But be looking to and listening to Him. Don't be looking to or listening to the Egyptians. Verse 21, therefore the Lord heard this and was furious. God got aggravated because they questioned who He was. Questioned His love for them. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in His salvation or in His deliverance. Don't be like them. These things are written down so we can learn. Listen to me. There is the tendency, the propensity, the disposition in all of us to not believe. You've been taught how to not believe. You were taught that before you were taught how to believe. We were all taught that way. Fear, doubt, and unbelief. But we have one who is the trailblazer, who has made a way. We have examples of men like Abraham and Moses and David and other men. Fail though they did, they are examples to us in so many ways to help us move forward in our wildernesses. We don't have to quit. You have so much more than Abraham had. Abraham didn't have a Bible to carry around with him. He didn't have a church to go to. He didn't have brothers and sisters in the Lord that could pray with him. He was the father of all of this. He wasn't born again. He wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit, but he's called the father of the faith. Now, did Abraham miss the mark? Several times. Yes, he did. But God didn't give up on him, and He won't give up on you either. Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. The wilderness is yours. It belongs to you. Isaiah 51. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 3. It says, "The Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places." Now, let me just tell you, prophetically, in the scriptures, Zion represents the church. He says, "He will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places." That word waste places means wildernesses. He will comfort you in your wildernesses. He will make her wilderness like Eden. You need to think on that. The word Eden has to do with the word pleasure. It wasn't just for God, it was for Adam too. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it. Thanksgiving in the voice of melody. In your wilderness, you ought to be thanking God and singing. Listen to this. You need to go look this up sometime. When in Numbers 20 or wherever it was, when God told Moses to speak to the rock, and the water would come out. If you go look at that word where he said speak to the rock, it also means to sing. Go sing to the rock. Sing to the rock and water comes out. Still today, sing to the Lord Jesus and water comes out. Revelation knowledge, word that comes from out of the mouth of God that you can live by. Sing to the rock. That rock is following you just like it followed Israel. That's what it says. They drank from the rock that followed them. His name is Jesus. Sing to the rock. You say, "Oh, we just come to church and we sing nice little songs." No, sing when you're in the wilderness. Out there when it's hard. Out there where it's not fun. Out there where ain't nobody but you and God. Sing to the rock. And when you sing to the rock, water comes out. That's what it says. Sing to the rock. I promise you, go get your Strong's Concordance and go look at that word where he said, speak to the rock. It means to sing as well. It's okay if you just talk to him. But you can sing. Let me read it again. Isaiah 51:3. "The Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort her waste places. He will make her wilderness." God said He'll make your wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Where? In your desert place.
Hallelujah.
Sing to the rock. There'll be thanksgiving and the voice of melody. So here it is. He wants to work in you and through you to make your wilderness a garden. It is your promised possession. But you have to sing to your rock. You have to be willing to sing in your wilderness. We just want to complain. We want to be like that dog set on the nail and whine. Or howl. There's a whole lot of difference between singing and howling. And God knows. God knows the difference. Most of us just sit and howl. That's what our prayers probably sound like to God, howling. Instead of rejoicing and being glad.
Amen.
And thanking God for the hard place. Because in the hard place, He arms you. In the hard place, He strengthens you. In the hard place, He gives to you. The hard place, He has given to you. He has given you the wilderness.
Hallelujah.
He has. Don't belong to the devil. You know, I know I've told you this story before, but I heard the brother say this. He said, walked out of church one morning, walked down the corner, and there on the corner, sitting on the curb, was the devil. Just right down from the church, there was the devil sitting on the corner crying. And he walked up to him and said, "Mr. Devil, why are you crying?" He said, "Oh, them old Christians accusing me of all that stuff I didn't get to do." Christians accusing the devil, all that stuff. The devil did it. The devil did it. The devil, most of the stuff the devil didn't do is either you or God. Sometimes the hard places is God. Sometimes the hard place is you because you didn't obey. Now, does the devil take advantage in those? Yes, he's real. And he'll jump on you and he'll come in, but he gets accused of a whole lot of stuff he didn't do. Actually, he doesn't have the authority to do it. So, is it easy to sing to your rock? No. Does it require effort to sing in the wilderness? Yes. Does it feel good to sing in the wilderness? Not till you do it a while. Not till you do it a while. Will the Lord work with you while you're singing to your rock? Yes. Will the Lord work with you while you're singing in your wilderness? Yes. So how can I make it work? Obey. Just obey. It's that simple. But you have to remember too, don't just obey once. You remember what Brett said this morning? Push, pray until something happens, sing until something happens, and then what?
Repeat.
Hallelujah. All right. Any thoughts or questions? All right. We have a little bit different day today. Miss Patsy, come on up here and she's going to preach another message. Give her a hand. Yeah. Yeah, talk into that.
We're taking this day and this opportunity to bless our apostle, Joanne Bush. Would you please come sit up on the front row? James. I get to go first. I looked through my teachings that you've done and couldn't really settle on just one. But the many teachings that you've done on the Bible giants and the enemy nations and what it takes to defeat them was always very interesting and eye-opening for me. Learning what those giants and the enemy nations represent and how I could work to defeat them in my life gave me opportunity to deal with them. I want to thank you for everything you do here at Church on the Rock to make it run smoothly. Thank you so much.
Amen. I guess I got to speak. Well, it's been a real honor that God has placed me and Betsy in your life and you in our lives. And I can't say I'm enough for all that you've done for us. You know, you're a very unique person.
So are we.
We are too. You know, anyhow you're a Yankee, that doesn't change anything. You know? We love you very much. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart how much all that you've done for us to help us to change and be better Christians in the eyes of God. So thank you very much for being there for us. Amen.
Okay, it's open for whoever else will.
Oh. Well, first I'd like to apologize for the Christmas bag. I thought it was a generic one, but it works. I would like to just say that the amount of time that you have spent with me personally has been a treasure that cannot be replaced, and you have been an answer to a prayer that I have for a long time, to have somebody that would be willing to spend the kind of time that you do with me and give me the insight into the questions I have about God, the questions I've had about life, has been something that I desperately needed, and there isn't enough of anything in this world to repay that. And I just want to let you know that it means a great deal to me, and you have become a really good friend.
I would just like to say I'm not playing Scrabble with you anymore. No. No, I really appreciate the fact that God brought you here, and I've learned a lot listening to things that you've taught in here and stuff, and I just wanted to say that, okay?
It's my turn. I just want to say thank you for being there for me always and straightening me out when I step out of line. And you're a great deal. And I'm glad you're in my life.
Joanne's, and she pushed me 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 to draw closer to the Lord. And this is a poem that I wrote about the journey that I have gone through with you for the last year and a half. And the title is The Opposite Message to Pastor Tisdale Teaching Today. So I promise you the next poem I will write is the new song in my heart. But today's poem is Crying in My Heart. There's a crying in my heart for your glory to fall, for your presence to fill up my senses. There's a yearning again, a thirst for discipline, a hunger for things that are deeper. Could you take me beyond war? Could you carry me through war? If I open my heart, could I go there with you, Lord? For I have been here before you, but I know there's still more, O Lord. I need to know you more. For what do I have if I don't have you, Jesus? What in this life could mean any more than you? You are my rock, you are my glory, you are the lifter of my head, and you are the lifter of my husband's head. And when I went through this, and Joanne asked me to push and push and push, and the Lord gave me the answer. He gave me a new poem in the Bible, Psalm 4. Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon me. You have put gladness in my heart, more than in season that the grains and wine increase. I will lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me a safe dwelling place. Thank you, Joanne, that you keep pushing me, and you keep pushing me real hard.
I guess the message is about pushing today. Interesting enough, they asked us to write something, and I knew I didn't have to write because I could speak from my heart about it. Joanne, since coming here, I've been here for almost 2 years now, you've give me word and information, and I'm the type that many times when I hear something, I have to go and see it with my own eyes. I have to search it out with my own eyes, and you've made me do that. Search it out and dig it out. There were times that you would give a message and I'd say, no, that can't possibly be right. There's something, and I would go home and I would be talking to Rose about it. And Rose would say, well, search it out. Search it out. And there were many times that I had to just ask God to forgive me just for my thoughts. And I've had to come back and tell Joanne that I was sorry at times too, my thoughts about her. And that's what I want to thank you about, that you've made me truly, within my spirit, truly stop and listen and pay attention to the message instead of hearing the first words that come and saying, no, and stopping. So now I open my mind and I listen to the messages that you have. You have such deep, deep messages at times that it makes me stop and really think it through. And I thank you from my heart for what you've been giving us here. I truly thank you. You've blessed us.
And I forgot to give Pastor to wrap my gift. I don't do it, only Pastor does it. So I'm going to give you the poem from our heart.
I get hugged too.
One of the many things that I've learned from Joanne, it is sinking down over my spirit a little bit more all the time. I hope you can read this. It says, gifts are us. We're gifts to each other. It's not about our gifting or whether we have a ministry or not, or whether we're recognized. It's if our gifts are being used to build up each other. I could preach. Joanne, we have been together about 3 years now, I think. I think that's what we decided the other day. And it had been 20 years since I had been discipled. So that was a long time to be winging it, really. I think we all need to be in lifetime discipleship with somebody. And she has provided life. She's given life for me, to me. And I just thank you, Joanne. I know that we have talked about life. And now, I do have one more. You are a and you are more it just doesn't it's just not enough. You've given your life, hope. Teaching was just a side thing. That when you give your life to somebody, it shows. So, love you, Joanne.
Hallelujah.
Do you want to say something?
I'm not through yet. I haven't gotten to know you quite as well as Linda has because she spent a whole lot more time with you. Joanne, as we are one in marriage, you have given me a new wife. You've done a world of difference in Linda. You've taken her to preach at the prison with you, and she hadn't done a whole lot of that. The last time she preached to anybody was in India. That was the first time, so she was told that people were not going to hear the gospel if you don't preach. But to even y'all preaching each other's sermons, just walking together being sisters. And I'm excited about what I see and that how she's growing in you. My wife is really growing up because of you in Christ. And she's getting toward her destiny. And it's challenging me to catch up. And it's given us hope and encouragement. And because a lot of times the transition that we're going through looks like the wilderness. And yet we can possess the wilderness and we can cause it to bloom. And there'll be some blooms in your future, physically. And we love you. And I appreciate the messages that you bring, whether during the Sunday school or the sermon, with so much life you're sharing with us, that you paid the price to mine for us so that we could have spiritual gems that would transform our lives. Thank you. We love you. Are the girls next?
Joanne, I think I've mentioned this before. I was raised in a church that believed women did have any business behind the pulpit. Okay. So as a result, most of my life I've had a mental block about women in the pulpit. You broke that block. There's nothing you've ever taught that hasn't spoken in my life in some way. And I admire you tremendously, and I love you a lot. Thank you.
I don't have a lot to say, I don't want this to sound hard, but You've challenged me to stretch, and it's been a long time since I felt like not only the need to stretch, but even the want to stretch. And and it has been a It has been a long, long time since I don't really know how to say this, but for us, it's been a really long time since we've been able to trust anybody except for Brother Melvin that had the word apostle or prophet in front of the name. And I want to tell you that I really feel from the bottom of my heart that we can trust you, and I thank you for that, for restoring that to us.
Anybody else? After she goes, is there anybody else besides her? Wait. Kelly's family is going to go after her, and then my young ladies over here, Elizabeth and Glory.
Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you go. I went up to you, and I told you how special you were. And I said that from the bottom of my heart. God is using you in such a beautiful way. And I know that He's going to provide for your every need. And you are so special, and I love you.
Sorry, Brett couldn't be here. He had to go to work this afternoon. He's going to give you his gift tonight. Again, I didn't write anything down because it would be useless. It's just I wanted to come from here. I love you. You have been a wonderful blessing. You've taught me a lot. You've taught me to learn how to open my eyes and see and quit being afraid of what I do see. And that was the one thing that I kept hearing because I didn't know or understand what some of the things that God's been showing me. So my eyes are open and I'm learning how to see. And I thank you so much for everything, and I thank God for putting you in my life.
I've always just loved how when you're doing your teachings, how you just use your life stories to help us understand what you're teaching about. I love you for that.
I love you, Mr. Man.
And Evan's got a song for you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Are you going to sing and dance?
Yeah, we're going to do a song and dance.
So, Ann, it's been a privilege and a blessing. God sent Joanne 7 years ago. Seven?
Yeah, into the eighth year now.
And we won't talk that way. 7 years ago, which seems like only yesterday in some respects, God, you heard what God said. You packed up most everything that you owned. I heard reverbs that it was more than you thought, and some other people thought too, including her. She brought her own bathtub.
Well, that, really?
That's the truth. I do not lie. We really have bathtubs down here, but I didn't want to discourage her too much. But anyway, she packed up a lock, stock, and barrel, moved away from her only son, natural son, moved away from her family, and left all and moved to the south. And this is the truth. Her son had to come down here and find out if she was all right. He didn't know about moving to the south, whether she was going to survive or not. So he came out here to check us out, and a few of her friends have come and found out she may be living in a trailer, but it's all right. She's not trailer trash. She has walked through and lived through hurricanes. I don't know whether you had you ever been through a hurricane before you moved down here? In Biloxi. Okay, I forgot about that. But there's been a few things that she's lived through besides living through the likes of our family and then the church family, and she's done good. She gets a gold star. She's a survivor.
Amen.
And she's a blessing. She is a good cook. She lies to you when she says she doesn't cook, because she is an excellent cook. She just doesn't decide to do that very often. But she can cook, and she can bake, despite what she says, and she knows how to use a bread machine too. I found that one out. But Joanne is a blessing, and my little grandson, she had her garden out here this year, and youngest grandson got to eat broccoli, and he said, you know, it's real. I cut it and I ate it all. And she said, Miss Joanne grewed it. And I said, yes, yeah, she grewed it. And so he got to cut it himself, and he was so proud of that. And he ate nearly every bit of what he cut. He ate it by himself, so he loved that. But he got excited seeing all the vegetables. Now, his daddy had done that, but Miss Joanne did it, and it was different. Okay, so but I want to say thank you, Joanne, for the years, for the fun, for the tears, for the joys, for the sorrows. The main thing is we have survived them, and we've even survived a few of them together. So I love you, and you have to open up my card now. Yes, it is. Because it's special. Say what it says.
Muchas gracias. Thank you very much. I'm utterly grateful. Thanks ever so much.
It's got cows on.
Black and white.
Mere urge can express my gratitude. Muchas gracias.
I don't really know anything I could add other than thanks. I appreciate really more than words can say. We know God sent us here, but I also know God sent you here, and you've helped us achieve in the kingdom what we had struggled for years and were never able to attain because we did of what we didn't know. And you came knowing some things that we didn't know. And I thank you
for helping us. And I sincerely mean it. I say that very humbly, but very gratefully also, because we'd done for years and years we'd been here. She'd been 7 years, so we'd been here 29 years when she came, and it would go up and it'd go down. It'd go up and it'd go down. When she came, it really went down. But it, well, it did. But that was all right, because we're back on the way up. And we're going up with kingdom purpose and kingdom insights. And I just, you know, God knows what he's doing. And thank you.
See, you think that we don't hear a thing you say. You see all those glazed over faces. You see all those questions. You see all those walls thrown up. But see, we really hear. It's just that it's hard to hear. We thank you. And we just wanted to recognize you for all we see that you sow into each of us and into the organization, the church itself. And we have taken up an offering for you. God bless you.
And you can't buy another computer toy with it. I know it. You want to say something? Give her the mic there, James. Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't have a sermon prepared for this, but I thank each and every one of you that you really got me this time. I had no inkling at all. Yeah, but I appreciate what you've done. I appreciate your hearts. I really appreciate these young people.
Amen.
I do appreciate it. Unbeknownst to you young ladies, I had just told Brother David a couple weeks ago the song, It Is Well With My Soul. That's my hallmark song. It was during a season when I was in the military, and there were some really rough things going on, and my mother sent me a little card. It had a little prayer on it. It said, "Dear Lord, the ocean is so big, and my boat is so small." And I just heard the song in my head, "It Is Well With My Soul." And that brought me through. I sang it all the time, every day, or played on the piano, would write the words out, and all that. So it brought me a long way. So I thank you for each one of you, and I thank you for all the glazed over eyes and the stunned looks, and I appreciate it. I know that everything that you've done and said has really come from your hearts, because most of you are like me. You really don't get into doing all this unless there's an anointing of some kind. So I appreciate it very much.
Amen. Give it to Chloe. Praise God. Well, happy birthday. Look at there. She got through it 2 minutes after 12. We're going to do one more thing. I'm going to read 8 verses out of Psalms 119. And this is about the Lord and what He does in our lives. And during this time, if you have a tithe, if you have an offering, you can bring that. I want to say this. Today, we're going to get back on track. You didn't know it, but we were the seed offering for the last 2 weeks, we were setting aside for you. So we're going to get back on track. Today's the third Sunday, so third Sunday's your seed offering goes to missions. That's what it's about. I need to say this to you as well while we're talking about that. How many of you remember the roof being painted? Got a new roof, new white paint on it. We're on the verge of being able to paint the outside, the walls. We have $2,000 that have been given to us towards that. It came from outside this place. It did. And what we're going to do, we're going to gather, it's going to take at least another $2,400 to paint the walls. Our seed offerings for the next little while will go towards that. You pray, you do what God says for you to do in that respect. Now, we're not begging, borrowing, or stealing. I'm just telling you, God's going to meet the need, and He always does it through His people.
Amen.
And so you ask God, if you say, well, I don't have $100 to give. Well, you could over a period of time. Are you hearing me? I'm not asking you to give it all right now, but before the end of this year, we're going to have, before the next 6 months, we're going to have the walls on this outside painting. I said, before the end of 6 months, we are going to have the walls on the outside painted. Okay. I just need to have some agreement. Get in with me. Okay. Hallelujah. But the Lord's already sent us $2,000 from outside. Nearly half of it. Aren't you blessed?
Yes.
But you didn't have to come up with all of it. Hallelujah. So let me read the verses here. I'm Psalms 119, verse